Okay, we are picking up five lines from the top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'ilei Nishma Shulames Bas Yaakov. These two dapim are very difficult, Baruch Hashem. We'll get into them. We'll try to chazer the inyanim over here about the idea that the different levels of Tumah. So now we're up to the point where the Mishnah quoted Rabbi Akiva told us, based on Sukkim, that a Sheni could create a Shlishi even Bechulin. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Asi Amar Rav, Ve'amre Le'i Amar Rabba Ben Isi Amar Rav, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer, Kulos Rilo, the Ein Shlishi, the Ein Sheni Osir Shlishi Bechulin. They all disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and they hold that a Sheni does not create a Shlishi Bechulin. They all disagree with that, and now the Gemara is going to demonstrate how all these Shitas that we just mentioned disagree with the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. It's important to note, and then this call from Reshechter Shlita comes up all the time, is that the Gaonim have a tradition, Ein Alacha Keshita. Whenever it says Kulo Svirlehu or Amru Davar Echad, whenever you have those two Lashonos, that means that we're not paskining like them, and that's a Das Yachid. And the way Rosh Hashanah always has a great way of saying it, the way he's saying it is like, who holds that weird, that strange sheet out there that we don't paskin like, so let's like gather together. I remember, oh, he held like that. Yeah, that was interesting. And that's what we're doing. That's why we don't, halacha is ain halacha keshita. This is one of the very rare exceptions in Shas that actually we are paskining like the kulos firlehu. That the Meir already points this out. Rishon already pointed this out, that this is an exception to the rule that generally when we're trying to, I was wondering why, I don't have a good answer for that, but meaning why just the same lashon kulos firlo? Why are we using that lashon if we're coming to show that they disagree with Rabbi Akiva and we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva? But either way, this is the exception. We actually hold halacha lemaisa that there is no amir tashem lemaisa. We don't have a taras chulin yet, but we're hoping soon that there is no concept of a shlishi if a person eats chulin. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, what's for the sheet of Rabbi Meir? Just none. Kol aton bias mayim edivrei sofrim etames hakodesh apol selat tatruma. So the Gemara and Shabbos Daf Yod Gimel Beis tells us the Yudches Gzeros. There was the 18 things which can make a person tummy only on the level of Derabanan. For persons like Nichnas Rosh Avruba B'mayim Shuvim, things like that, a person becomes tummy on the level of Derabanan. The Gemara gives the reasons for all those Gzeros. So the lach is, so what level are you? What do you go, you did this thing and you become tameh on the level of Derabanan. So what's your status? What are you, a Rishon, a Sheni? So the Mishnah tells us, metameh is a kodesh. It makes kodesh tameh. So whenever, it's important to note this, we had this yesterday's daf already, and a chance to record, I apologize, but the important rule for yesterday's daf and today's daf, whenever it has the lashon of metameh, it means that it itself can become tameh, and also metameh is something else. So if something is, let's say, sheni, then it's metame because it becomes by kodesh at least, because it's metame the kodesh become a shlish, to metame itself to something's a rishon, let's say it's metame to make a sheni, and then it'll continue to make something else. Also, it itself can also make something else tame, as opposed to posel. Lashon of posel only makes it that it stop the chain stops there, that it'll be the last level. So the lashon is metame sa kodesh, posel sa truma, so that it's going to make kodesh or truma a shlishi. So therefore, when it comes to truma, we use lashon of posel because that's where it ends, right? There's no revi by truma. However, when it comes to kodesh, there is a revi, so that's why we use the lashon of metame. So basically, the person is going to make something a shlishi, so we give him the status midrabanan of a sheni. Umutar b'chulin of a meiser, but it's permissible in regards to chulin and meiser sheni. Meaning, a person who is tame midrabanan is permitted to eat chulin and meiser sheni, and if a person or food or something like that touches chulin or meiser sheni, they're allowed to be eaten because they're not considered tame. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So it's not really like they're a full sheni. Well, at least somewhat they're a sheni. Their status is like a sheni, and therefore they're not going to create a shlishi when they touch the food. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Chachamim osrim meiser. Chachamim say the guards to meiser sheni have to be machmir. That a person who's tame is a tame sheni is not allowed to eat meiser sheni. He is a tumah sheni. He's not allowed to eat meiser sheni. Same lashon. Good way to remember it. And they'll allow him only to eat chulim. So really, the chachamim actually agree to Rabbi Meir on this point also, that it would not create chulin that's a shlishi. So we see both Rabbi Meir and whoever the chachamim are over here, they all both hold that a sheni does not create a shlishi b'chulin. Why we're using only lashon of Rabbi Meir? Because we don't really know. Rashi points out that we don't really know who's arguing. It's just chachamim, but it really is the chachamim and Rabbi Meir of this mishnah both hold that there is no concept of a shlishi b'chulin. That's what we see from over here. Now, next point. Rabbi Yossi, where do we see Rabbi Yossi? It says that a sheni can't create a shlishi in chulin. Hadamran, that's what we saw before. Rabbi Yossi had the kavachomer teaching us that a shlishi creates a revi in kodesh. That was his whole kavachomer. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you can't say that that a person is going to be potentially be able to make chulin shlishi, because if he would be able to, dimisa, if he'd be able to make a shlishi, laisi l'revi b'truma v'chamishi b'kodesh. And Rabbi Yossi should be able to learn that there's a concept of revi in the case of truma and a chamishi in the case of kodesh, because if chulin could become a shlishi, then the Kal v'chomer from a tful yom would tell you that truma can become a revi, and the Kal v'chomer from a mechuser kippurim would tell you that a kodesh can become a chamishi. Because what was the whole point of the Kal v'chomer? The first Kal v'chomer was that since a tful yom is really ra'oi for chulin, but he's not able to have truma, truma must be on one level beyond that of chulin. And if, basically, the second Kal v'chomer is that a mechuser kippurim is fit for truma, but he's not able to have kodesh, then he has to go one level further. So if chulin becomes a shlishi, basically that whole kavachomer derived that you go another level. So then what comes out is that truma is a revi, and kodesh can even be a chamishi. Since Rabbi Yossi does not learn this, and he only learns it's a revi, we must learn that he says the line stops at shlishi for chulin, therefore you can only have a sheni b'chulin and not any further. That's the drasha from Rabbi Yossi. That's what we learn in the kavachomer, and he also holds that there's no concept of shlishi for chulin. Now the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yeshua, where do we see the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua? This time we learn in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Taharos. The Mishnah tells us the following. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ha'ochel Ochel Rishon, Rishon. Sheni, Sheni, Shlishi, Shlishi. So again, that the Yidchas Gzeros, if a person eats, one of the Yidchas Gzeros that we have is a person eats Tameh food, so he himself is going to become Tameh. So in Medaraisa, a person doesn't become Tamei by touching Tamei foods, because those are most could be Rishon, it doesn't Tamei that person. However, Midrabanan, they made a Gzira. What's the Tamei of the Gzira? They were afraid that what would happen is a person's going to have his Sheni food, or Rishon food that he's eating, and he's not Tamei, so he doesn't think there's a problem with it, because he can't become a Sheni from this food, and he can't become a Rishon, Sheni, so he can't become anything from it, so he's eating it, no problem. But if he's having Truma, or even he's having a liquid at the same time, so then it's going to be tamei from the food in his mouth at the same time that he has this bread. So therefore, in order to, Chazal wanted to stop this from happening, they made a gzeira that a person, that that which touches the water would become tamei. So Rabbi Elazar holds that how far does it go, that the tuma that's going to be on the person's eating it is the same as the food that he ate. That's the shita Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says, that's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, that he himself is the same status. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ha'ochel Rishon, Ve'ochel Sheni, Sheni. The one who eats a food that's either Rishon or a Sheni, he becomes a Sheni. He doesn't become a Rishon, he becomes a Sheni. The person eating Tamei food does not always have the same. If it was a Rishon, he could become a Sheni. Shlishi, if a person eats that food which is a Shlishi, Sheni Bekodesh, Ve'en Sheni Betruma. He becomes a Sheni regards to Kodesh, but does not become a Sheni regards to Truma. Meaning we consider him to as if he became Tamei as a Sheni with respect to Kodesh, so that if he touches Kodesh, he can make a Shlishi. And that also can make a Revi. It's even Betamei. However, we do not consider it to be a Sheni with respect to Truma, and if he touches Truma, that would not make it a Shlishi. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. The Gemara is Marech. I don't have time to get into their Svaras. The Gemara in Chulin is Marech very at length for the reason for each Shita. But that's their shitas. Bechulin shenaso ataras truma. So the Gemara is now just the Braisa, rather actually it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah in Taros is telling us, how do you have a case that you have a shlishi if it's not going to be truma? So this must be that it was chulin that were naso ataras truma. That a person treated it with the level of truma. That there's a concept that a person right there was many kohanim, all the shevet Kohen would be able to eat truma in a state of tara. So since chulin cannot reach the level of shlishi, it has to refer to a case where the kohanim, who are generally eating truma all the time, so they would have this minug chumra on themselves that they would treat their chulin like truma in order to get used to the fact that to know what the standard of tara was in order to be able to keep it on the level of truma. Al taras Truma in al taras hakodesh lo. The Gemara just points out that Rabbi Yeshua mentioned specifically there's a concept of taras truma for chulin that exists only for truma, and therefore we can have this case of pasaling kodesh etc. for a person who keeps the shlishi, but not the Taras HaKodesh law. There is no thing of watching yourself to watch your chulin as if it's kodesh, and if it has the same properties of kodesh, because that would be something which is not done by the masses. Only very few people do that keep it on the status of kodesh, and therefore the rabbanon aren't going to make a gzera or a halacha for those select few people by keeping it on Taras HaKodesh. However, when it comes to the kohanim, that's a significant portion of our nation, all of whom eat trima all the time, it's something ma'isim b'chol yom. So there was such a chumrah imposed on themselves, and therefore the chazal encouraged this practice, and also made gziras in regards to what happens to their chulin when they are keeping it in the status of truma. And we're saying there is no concept with regards to the status of kodesh. But what do we see from here? Alma kasavar ein sheni osir shlishi bechulin. We see that the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua is that a sheni would not create a shlishi in chulin, because we're talking about chulin shenasa al taras truma, and we say that there is no concept of a shlishi there, and that's we see that there is no shlishi. Rabbi Eliezer holds that a sheni cannot have shlishi based on the brisa. The sound of the brisa tells us that Rabbi Elazar Omer Shloshtan Shavin, all three of the following are going to be the same. If it's Kodesh, Chulin, or Truma, they're going to have the same status. HaRishon Shabbat Kodesh, V'Shechulin Shabbat Truma. Any Rishon, whether it's Kodesh, Chulin, or Truma, so what's the Halacha? Metameshnaim Imposel Echad B'Kodesh. It makes two things Tamei, and one thing Pasel. Again, Pasel means it stops over there. So it could create a Sheni, and create a Shlishi, those are called those are called metamek, because a shlishi can create, then in turn make a revi. It still makes something, but however, it's posel echad means revi, because revi, it stops over there. So basically, it makes three things unfit for eating kodesh. Two of them can be metamek, other things of kodesh, hektish, and the other one stops over there, because it's only revi. If it touches other kodesh, you're fine. That's the halacha with regards to if it was a rishon with regards to kodesh. What if it was truma? Metamek echad, posel echad b'truma. If it's a rishon, so then it can make a sheni. And then stops over there, though. Shlishi is the last, where it ends for Truma. So therefore, it can only postal the third one, so basically, et cetera. In our case, it would be that two things, if it was a Rishon, so you have another piece of bread that's Truma bread, that would become a Sheni. And then a Shlishi that stops over there, we call that postal. That one becomes, also invalid for eating for Truma, but doesn't, if that third thing would touch another piece of Truma, nothing would happen to it, and it would remain, tower for Truma. Uposel echad v'chulin, and explicitly says, and it makes only one unfit for chulin, meaning it only becomes a sheni, and the chain stops there with regards to chulin. So we see beferish that Belezer holds that there is no shlishi level in regards to chulin. Belezer is actually coming to argue on the sheet of another Tana who makes a chilik between different levels of food on a rishon that only a rishon of kodesh has the ability to make tumah on the level of Ravi b'kodesh. If you had a rishon that was chulin, and a tamei rishon l'chulin, according to this other Tana, then it would not be able to create beyond a shlishi. A very fascinating din there, where they learned that out from. It's fascinating. Also, the Rambam seems to pass like the other Tana, that only if a rishon was tamei with regards to not chulin, it was kodesh, then it can do this chain of metame three things. However, if it was chulin that was tame rishon, it would only, like truma, it would only stop at shlishi. So it could be metame another piece of a piece of truma, and that other piece of kodesh, and that other piece of kodesh would then be able to passel one other one, and that was it. That third thing stops, and that's where the chain ends, according to the other Tana, who disagrees with Rabbi Elazar. Okay. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Eliezer holds that a sheni kana shlishi. Where do we learn that? It's not in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is in Chala. So we need a little hakdama over here. When it comes to Chala, generally, a person has to separate from every dough 1/24th of his 1/24th of his Chala. And if he's a baker, Nachtum, he's making more. So then we allow him to do 1/48th. That's the amount that a person has to give. Chala, should be noted, also has the status of truma. It has the level of, it has the same level of truma. It's like truma. It's called truma in the Torah. So it has the status of truma. So what happens now if a person is chala became tame? So is chala became tame? So there's a difference if it became, well, potentially a difference if it became tame on purpose or by accident. Let's say assume by accident. So what are we going to do? Guy's stuck. His thing became tame, so we're not going to make him take off 1/24th, but you're just wasting challah. It's going to be burnt. Whatever, right? You're not allowed to eat the dough that became tame as truma, so you're just burning that bread. No one's allowed to eat it, so I don't want to waste it. So we allow him to take off 1/48th, the amount that is the smaller shear. The amount that's the smaller shear, we allow him to take off 1/40th. But what happens if it was done on purpose? If challah was done on purpose, so the chachamim say that since it was done on purpose, We're going to punish the guy. We're going to make him take off 124th. Don't let him. The lashon of Chazal many times is Shaloya Choto Nizka. The Gemara says many times that he shouldn't have his. He shouldn't get a benefit from the fact that he did this avera. So therefore, we learn according to this that that you should be taking off 124th. That is the opinion of the Chachamim. However, Rabbi Eliezer is coming to disagree with that shita. He says even further. Rabbi Eliezer Merchala. So let's see the Mishnah. The son. Rabbi Eliezer is going to. I'll give the background, I guess, and I'll say Rabbi Eliezer shita, and then we'll say it in the Mishnah. It'll be a lot easier. Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold that you have to take another piece of dough. You have to take another piece of dough that's tahar dough and take off the full shear of the 124th on your other doughs, meaning you're going to combine these two doughs to make them one big piece of dough, and you're going to have to take the full 124th off of both of them. So basically, you're taking off, let's give an example to make this a little easier. If you have a dough that was, let's just do it as 125th to make things easier for my math right now. If you have, let's say, you have 25 beitzim of just to 24, I guess, easy, fine. Do 24, you have 24 beitzim worth of a challah. That's how big your dough is right now, 24 beitzim worth. So you want to take, you have to take off one beitza, you have to take off one egg worth of dough. Now, you're not able to because it's tameh, so you add in now a whole nother 24. So you have 48. So we make you take off of this now whole thing that's a lump sum of 48, we make you take off two beitzim worth of dough, and you have to take off the two beitzim only off the tahor one, because you can't have challah that's tameh. You take it only from the tahor dough. Now, there's another problem, a very big problem, is that there's a concept called mukaf, that the when you're taking off the challah, it needs to be that the dough is together. It needs to be together when the challah is taken. So when the challah is taken, it needs to be together. So how are you going to do that? Because the moment that they touch, you're going to be tameh, the other whole dough that you have, this other new dough that you have is going to become tameh. So what are you supposed to do? So here, that's the eitzah of, we're going to see from the Shita Rabbi Lezer, is how to get around that. He's going to say that you have something less than a kibitzah, which we'll get into, how that's going to work. But that's the major points that we have to see from the Mishnah, the background. And, a very important point is Rashi seems to understand that mukaf actually needs to be that the challahs have to be touching each other. Many other Rishonim disagree and assume that, at least for sure on the level of the Reisa, that as long as they're close to each other, they're in the same room, same proximity, that's also a kiyum of the Lashon of mukaf. So then over here, why do they have to be together? We're going to see they actually have to be touching. There seems to be a raya for Rashi. So the other Rishonim explain that no, because over here, fundamentally, you didn't want them to be touching. You are very opposed to them being touching. If it's something that they're not allowed to be touching, so then you would assume that would be a major problem of mukaf. That would work. That's like they're in a different room because they can't even be touching. They're not allowed to be touching. That's a problem of them not working. Okay. So with all of that background, now let's read the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Lazar Omer, Chalani tells me ora alat mayam. Challah can be taken from a tahor dough, from the tameh dough. So that was the whole example that we gave how it works, is the guy did it on purpose. So what does he have to do? Ketzad. Shtei isus achas tahor v'achas tameh. So he has two doughs. One is tahor, one is tameh. Nota kedei challah me'isa shelo hurmer chalasa. And v'nosen pachas mekabetza be'emtza. So what do? You take a piece of challah that's needed from the tameh dough, and you take it off, that had to be done from the measure of challah is needed from the tameh dough, from the tahor, meaning you have your whole lump over here on the left side, that's tameh. And you have your right side, that's tahor. So you take a lump from the, you take a grab, or grab a whatever, I don't know where now, English, a lump of the tahor dough, and you put less than a venosa and pachas mekabetza ve'emtza. You put less than a shear of a kabetza as a type of like a connector, like a bridge connecting them two. They're two separate pieces, and this middle thing in the middle that's connecting them is less than a kabetza. We have a halacha that midareisa, according to Rashi at least, some disagree that at least maybe Bitam is something else, but at least midareisa, that tuma, according to Rashi, that a kabetza, less than a kabetza does not become tame either. When it's less than a kabitza. So here, you have less than a kabitza, great. So this tahor piece did not make anything tame. Kedei litol mina mukaf, in order that he should have the challah, what is next to the tame dough. So therefore you have this bridge, and as you separate it, you declare, you say, arezu challah, and therefore the tahor is no problem. You have to take off two. You have two pieces from the right side. You'll take off, in our example, you have to take off two kibetzim worth, and therefore you've now fulfilled your chiyuv of challah. That's the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say you're not allowed to do this. We're going to see why. V'tanya kibitza. Now, Abraisa said, we just said that the whole that Rebbe Lezer's shita makes a lot of sense because you have this bridge thing that's going to be less than a kibitza, so it works. That's the shita of Rebbe Eliezer, so we understand it. However, there's a braisa that says, according to Rebbe Eliezer, you're even allowed to use a piece of dough, which is the shear of a kibitza. But wait a second. When something is the shear of a kibitza, then it is subject to the lachas of becoming tameh. So now the Gemara says Savrua, so they assume that idi v'idi ki isa rishona, that both this Mishnah and the braisa are dealing with the case that the dough was metame, was a rishon. So now, what are they understanding? And they're agreeing that a dough of chulin that's obligated in challah is not mamish like challah. That is the point of both the Mishnah and the Braisa in Rebbe Eliezer. In regards to becoming tameh, even though this whole isa on the right side, this whole dough that we have on the right side, has challah within it, but you didn't take it off yet. So since I didn't take it off yet, the Gemara is telling us that since I didn't take it off, the halacha is going to be that it has the status of chulin until I take it off. So since I didn't take it off yet, and it has the status of chulin, so then what do I have? I have chulin. And so if the tameh dough is a rishon, so the piece that's going to be using as a bridge in between them is going to become a sheni. So now when it's becoming a sheni, it doesn't have the ability to make that whole pile that I have on the right a shlishi, because it's still the status of chulin at this point. So now since it's still the status of chulin, Rabbi Elazar must understand that when it comes to a sheni, it will not create a shlishi b'chulin. Because we're viewing this whole pie on the right as the status of chulin until you take off the truma, so then it's not going to be a problem. That's what we're assuming over here. But Rashi deals with a very big problem. The moment that you declare it challah, the moment you make it challah, so now it would be subject to the halacha of becoming a shlishi, meaning your whole pie on the right. You say, harei zu challah, you take off the piece. The moment that you took off the piece, the bread, that whole, it was touching the other piece. It was a shlishi. It was part of the shlishi conglomerate on the right side. And now you have a shlishi latuma. Your whole pile on the is a shlishi latuma, the second side. So according to Rashi, you have to understand, Rashi explains that you have to remove it right before you establish its challah. So what, you remove it a moment before you declare it challah, and therefore it would not be, you remove that piece that you're taking off as challah, and then immediately after you say arezu challah. So you have the concept of mukaf because it was right a second before you took off the challah, it was together, and you have the concept of not becoming tameh because you already removed it before it had the chance to become challah, and the shlishi is not a problem at the status it was chulin beforehand, a fascinating thing, and now you're all good. So now we see that is the shita of the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, what about Rabbi about the Chachamim? What are they arguing about? My love, Balkam, if forget some, can we assume that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are disagreeing about the following? Demar Savar ain sheni oser shlishi b'chulin. Rabbi Eliezer holds that a sheni cannot create a shlishi in chulin. Umar Savar sheni oser shlishi b'chulin. However, the Chachamim hold that a sheni can create a shlishi b'chulin. So therefore, that's the whole reason that they have a problem. That if this thing is going to be a kibitza, it's going to be matame, and it's going to be declared as a shlishi, and the chachamim would therefore have a problem with the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. That's the problem. So that's the problem. That's why the Gemara is assuming that's the whole machlokas. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Mari Breidera Rav Kehana Dekuli Alma Ein Shlini Osa Shlishi Bechulin. Everybody holds that a sheni cannot create a shlishi b'chulin. V'hacha b'chulin tfulin l'chala k'miflegi. Here they're disagreeing with regard to the status of chulin, a chulin dough that's chayav in chala. Mar savar k'chala damu, the chachamim hold that chulin that's subject to chala is like chala in the fact that it is going to be metame on a shlishi level. But you're right, regular chulin is not metame shlishi. Mar savar lo k'chala damu. Whereas Rabbi Lozer holds that chulin, that this pile, which has chala eventually that will be taken off in it, is not like chala and would not be subject to the lacha of a shlishi betuma. And that's the yesod machlokes. So therefore, everybody would agree that a shlishi is not subject to the lachas of chulin. Here, because there's chala in it, that was a chiddush. Rabbi Lezer, the chachamim would disagree with that very chiddush. Ve'ibay seima, or you could explain the kuli alma chulin atvulin lachala lo kechala damu. Or you could say that everybody's going to agree that when it comes to chulin, which is like chala, is it, meaning it has chala within it that you have to take off eventually, that's not like chala. Also, everybody would agree that a sheni can create a shlishi in chulin. So what's machlokas? There's a whole other machlokas over here. Are you allowed to make the bridge? The bridge is the issue. Are you allowed to make that middle dough in the middle that's connecting the connector dough? You're making that tameh. If it's a kibetza.
Mar Savar Mutar Ligrom Tuma L'Chulin Shevaret Yisrael.
Rabbi Elazar holds that it's mutter. There's not a problem. There's not a problem of making regular non truma things. Tame, making it a sheni is not a problem. Whereas the Chacham disagree, and they hold that it's usher to cause tuma in chulin eretz Yisrael. Now, the concept of eating chulin b'tahara was an extra chumrah that a chaver would take upon himself. That the idea is that the Rabbanan wanted to encourage this, to people to eat chulin b'tahara, so therefore, they said across the board, that for everybody, a universal isser is going to exist, where it's usher to create that tumah should become tameh, because we want to encourage people to keep things, even chulin b'tahara. And that's why that would be the other reason for the chachamim to hold that it's us, this process was usher. Bo bayom dar Rabbi Akiva, that we finished the tumah b'tahara stuff. Now we're back to the Rabbi Akiva's understanding that he learned at the Payam Amma and other ones saying 1,000 and learned for Tchum Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, what's the Yisrael Machlokas? What are the Tanaim over here arguing about? Mar Savar Tchum Dereis. Rabbi Akiva is going to hold that the Halach of Tchum on Shabbos is Dereis. Or Mar Savar Derabanan, whereas Rabbi Lesser clearly holds that Tuma is the idea of Tchum is Derabanan. It's actually Machlokas. We don't pass like this point of Rabbi Akiva, but we might hold the idea of Yirbi's meal might be Dereisa, the Rif, and other Rishonim might hold like that. So that would be a Shaila. It's a real Isser Dereisa, according to some Rishonim. I think Shulchan Aruch was like, I think Shulchan Aruch Ramah, if I'm not mistaken. But that's a big Shaila. We don't hold 2,000 Amos. We hold more than that, but that's the Shita Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara continues about the idea of the Shira Bayam. Tanur Rabbanan, Bo Bayam Darash Rabbi Akiva, B'Shah She'al Yisrael Min Ayam, Klal Yisrael. They were coming into the waters of the Yamsuf. Nasu Neim Lamar Shira. They wanted to say Shira. The Ketzad Amru Shira. And how did they say Shira? Kigadol Amakrei Sahalel. They said it in a manner of an adult who's leading the Halel. Ve'enon Enachem of Roshei Prakim. And they would respond with Roshei Prakim. What exactly is going on? In earlier times, they didn't do the Halel the way that we do it. Everyone says it themselves. Baruch Hashem, we have a Siddur. We are proficient in the reciting of Halel and Hebrew in general. And back then, you had a lot of people. That's the whole idea of Chazar Zashatz, right? They didn't know how to read Hebrew. They didn't know how to, they didn't memorize the Pesukim for sure. So if you have a guy who's the age of Bar Mitzvah or above, and he knows the Halel, so what they used to do is that they used to have him, just like you have Shomei Ke'oneh by Kiddush, that we do Kiddush, or a lot of other mitzvahs that we do through Shomei Ke'oneh, so too would be Yotze Shomei Ke'oneh in Halel as well. It's subject to Lachas of Shomei Ke'oneh. But instead of answering, what would they answer in the middle of the paragraph? Like, by a bracha, it's easy. Kiddush is easy. You answer Amen, you're Yotze. So they used to answer Halleluka after each phrase, because Halleluka was the first line of Halal. So they referred to that as the Roshei Prakim, because it's like the header. And that's how they responded to each paragraph that he used to say. They used to answer Halleluka. So that would end up be calling the Roshei Prakim. So now, according to this, the Gemara is going to explain the Tana that says that they would say Roshei Prakim. Moshe Amar Ashir Lashem Ki Gagalai. So they would say Ashir Lashem. So he says here, Shir Lashem, Moshe, and then he continued, Kigoga. So now you don't go back and respond, Kigoga, because again, it's just like the idea of the Hala. By Hala, you go back to the first Haluka. So here also, they would say, Ashir Lashem. That's how they would respond, Ashir Lashem, in a parallel of the way they would do it. That they would answer, Ashir Lashem, for all of these. That's how the entire Shira worked, according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Lazar, Benosh, Rabbi Yosef, Glili Omer, Kikotan Amakris Lahala. No, they did it in the way that if the guy was not a bar mitzvah, so if a guy is not a bar mitzvah, so then halachas of Shomea Ke'oneh do not kick in. So how do you do it? The way it works when you have a person who's not able to be Yotze Shomea Ke'oneh is you have to repeat him. When he's leading benching or anything else, you have to repeat him because you're not able to be Yotze with his Shomea Ke'oneh. Moshe Amar Ashir Lashem, Mehon Omrim Ashir Lashem, Moshe Amar Kigoga. They would answer Omrim Kigoga. So that's how they did it according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Rabbi Nechemya Omer Kisufra Poris Hashma Bebesak Neses. He did it like the guys of the Malamed teaching people how to say Shema in Shul, Shuposev Tchila Vinun Acharav, where he first began saying the Shema slowly, and everybody used to repeat with him. They would say it with him and be able to say it together. So too the Yidden also, when it came to the time that they were going through the Yamsuf, he's understanding that there was a special Ruach HaKodesh, and they were all able to instinctively know how to say the same Shira at the same time as Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara asks, B'mayakim leflagim? So, but what's exactly the Sodom HaKlok? So Rabbi Akiva, Savar Lemar, Milsa Kamayisar. Rabbi Akiva understands that Lemar is going to the first phrase. Leimar is going on the first, Ashir Lashem is going on, so that means that you should say each time, they would respond, Ashir Lashem. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Leimar, Akol Milsa, Umilsa. No, he's referring Leimar on each and everything they said. It's going on back and responding. So they copied everything that he said. Rabbi Nechemus Savar, Vayomru, is the Amar Kula Badadadad. It says Vayomru, they said together. Not that one said before, the other one said after. It's rather Vayomru means that they said it together. Leimar, Tepazach Moshe, Bereisha Moshe opened up, and then everybody said it together. They had this Ruach HaKodesh to be able to say it together. Okay, Baruch Hashem will pick up with Shabbos, so Tanur Rabbanan, and invite there with the recordings of Mirtz Hashem, Sunday's Daf.